Win £75,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Welcome along to the weekend edition of the From the Horse's Mouth as we look ahead to the racing on Saturday and maybe even a look ahead to Sunday. We'll see how we go. Do note, we're recording Thursday lunchtime, so there could be a lot of price changes between now and by the time you listen to this. But nonetheless, the content will be relevant because it's Rory De Largy and Frank Hickey. We've given Ruby the week off. I don't know if he's in the pub this time. Any idea, Frank, if Ruby's in the pub on this ski? He didn't enjoy me saying that he was going to a pub on a Friday morning last week.
I have no idea where Ruby wants us. I'm not his keeper, am I?
Should be. Okay. How are you, Rory?
I'm okay.
Yes, we talked off air. You're having all sorts of issues at home, unfortunately, but you have managed to have a look ahead to the racing and hopefully all that will sort itself out. Now, we have got, by the way, Paddy's Pick 5 this weekend. 75 grand is in the pot. It's free to play. The races have just been confirmed to me. The 150 Newbury, 225 Newbury, 335 Newbury, they'll all be on ITV. 250 Nace and 313 at Warwick. So most of those are actually on ITV. So that's free to play. 75 grand in the pot. No Franberry this week. He's on holidays in Tenerife. If you follow him on Instagram, you'll get some cracking photos. He's very... What are you shaking your head at, Frank?
Oh, it's his grand life, doesn't he?
Isn't he?
It's a grand life.
He's done well. But he's a likable man. He's a lovely man.
Yeah, he's lovely.
We don't mind that.
I'm not begrudging you. I'm just saying, like, geez, he's a grand life. That's all.
He has a grand life.
Fair play to him.
Fair play to him. Yeah, if you follow him on Instagram, he's good crack as well. Right, we have got Punter's Panel. We're going to record an episode of the Punter's Panel. That means we put you in the hot seat. Don't mind me asking Ruby Walsh how he felt about Annie Power. Don't mind me. I want you. Or we want you. He took that well, didn't he? We want you to put the questions. And on that panel will be Ruby Walsh, Rory De Largy, and a special guest, Nina Carberry. I'm wondering, Rory, how many questions will we get on Dancing with the Stars? Or is it?
I'd like to think at least a third of all the questions will be Dancing on the Stars related.
She did win it.
She's on Fittest Family as well, isn't she?
Oh,
she can ask her with that.
She could ask. You could ask her about whatever you want. Ideally, maybe some horse racing questions in there, given the panel. But we're recording on Monday. So what I need from you and producer Mark needs from you is to send us questions. Now, if your question is used on the show, you will get yourself a 25 quid free bet. But. This question needs to be in video format. So record yourself using Landscape on your phone and send it. You can do it any of three ways. You can send it to me on Twitter at Patrick Kennelly. You can slide into my DMs, or you can slide into Mark Walsh's DMs and send it to him. He's at Mark Walsh. We're the original too. Do you like that? I think it's at Mark Walsh. Producer Mark, give me a nod. That is your Twitter handle, isn't it? Yes, it is. Look at that. We're the original too. Or if you don't want to use Twitter, you can just email it to us at fthm@paddypair.com. Use the video, use Landscape. So put the phone on its side and we'll get the best quality and ask a question of Rory De Largy, Ruby Walsh, or Nina Carberry. Frank, if you had one question for Nina Carberry, what would it be?
What's her biggest regret from her career in racing?
Crikey. Okay, we might ask that. Why that? Have you got one in mind?
No, I don't. It was just the first thing that came into my head.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Okay. Right. Well, hopefully something like that from Frank comes in. Right. I think I've covered everything. It's now time to look
at
it.
Can I get used in the show now? Can I?
You might get a 25 quid free bet, Frank, if it does.
Not put a score on the side or anything.
Yeah. Pretty sure I'm going to get excluded from that, am I?
Probably. There's another podcast called Cheltenham Countdown Extra or something. You can listen to that if you want.
Junior B.
Yeah, Junior B podcast.
You should have just called it Junior B. It would have taken off.
That's what I wanted it to be called. Again, it said, shut up, Frank. Stop. Your ideas don't matter.
You're still on the podcast. You're still
just
on the podcast.
About.
You're
just
still on the about. Podcast. Let's look ahead to a cracking weekend. Well, I say a cracking weekend of racing. It's the Newbury card, the Betfair Hurdle card that generally is some Cheltenham clues. It's always a good card. Now, the ground is quick. There's talk of potentially firm appearing in the ground. At the moment, the ground is good. As I said, we're recording on Thursday. The first race we're going to look at is the first that's on ITV. It's the 150 It is a 3-mile handicap hurdle. We're down to a field of 9 in this. Paul Nicholls got a couple of interesting runners, Barbados Books and Flemons Tide. Frank Hickey, I don't have prices. Do you?
I do. Barbados Books is 11-4. Annual Invictus 5-1. Jatalui 11-2. Regarding Ruth and Bridge North are 7-1. JBY 8-1, along with Flemons Tide. And we are 12's bar.
Rory DeLargy. I see Jatalui is there, but unfortunately,
no David Maxwell.
No David Maxwell.
Wow, that puts me right off, I have to say.
It's incredibly harsh, but I think we were like 12's antipodes until we saw he wasn't so jumped up.
Yeah. I did actually put up a David Maxwell horse again last weekend on the basis that if you back David Maxwell's rides in hurdle races, over the last few years to a tenner, you'd be about 600 quid ahead. And if you backed all his runners and chases to a tenner over the last few years, you'd be about 700 quid behind. So therefore the logic was, just back his hurdle mounts. But unfortunately didn't get much of a tune out of his mount, in that race either. So, it's definitely a positive that Tom O'Brien is on Jatalui, I would say. I feel like I'm kicking a man when he's down now, but the ground will be on the quick side. It'll be good. What is it? Good to soft in places, or just good all over? Good all over, even. Yeah,
I think it's good all over. Yeah.
And some people suggesting it's even on the fast side of good. That's a little bit of a question mark for me. Ran well at Cheltenham in his reappearance. I haven't been off the track for a while. On good ground in December. But he's got plenty of form on soft ground and heavy ground as well. He's won on good ground. Off a much lower mark a couple of years ago. But I'd be inclined to start looking for horses who really want this kind of surface. And that makes me think that the value might just have gone a little bit with Jatalui. Because, you know, the it's not like the jockey booking has gone unnoticed. So the market has reacted to that already. I can still see him winning, but I think there might be a little value elsewhere. In the contest, I'm not sure I'm mad keen on either of the Nicholls runners, for all he tends to do well at this meeting. And I couldn't go for Annual Invictus, could I? After calling him names when he won at Cheltenham in November,
quite a name.
This is kind of proven that he's run he wasn't in the same form, wasn't quite the same form next time, but he ran pretty well. Off a 4-pound higher mark, and then he's pulled up at Wincanton last time. He does tend to down tools if he's not getting his own way, but he might well get his own way here. The question is if anything's going to take him on in front. And Bridge North made the running last time he ran, so he's a possibility. He's not a nice night front runner, but he did make all the running at Bangor last season. And perhaps Flemons Tide will go on. He was disappointing last time, but didn't make the running there. But last season, he made the running when runner-up at Wincanton and again at Exeter in his next start. So he could go forward. On the flip side, those runs for Flemons Tide were on heavy grounds. And there's not much evidence that he wants it this quick. He was well beaten in a bumper at Ayr on good ground, going back a couple of seasons. And his best efforts have probably come on a very testing surface. So maybe Annual Invictus will get an easy in front. Chris Gordon does tend to lay them out for this meeting as well. Does pretty well here, but he's a horse that you've always got to, you've got to take that into account that he can throw in the occasional stinker, but he does win races. As I said, he broke a track record at Cheltenham last season and he was successful again there in November. But his form tailed off a little bit later in the year and I can see him doing the same thing this time around. So I'm going to go with JBY. Very much around the houses here. Whereas Cheek Pieces for the first time for Alan King. He is a horse who does want quickish ground. He was placed on Good to Firm at Market Raisin in May. And he's been a little bit below his best in two starts since, but both on soft ground at Kempton. I think getting back on a quicker surface will suit JBY. This wouldn't be a race for maximum stakes by any manner of means, but I think there's a little bit of value in him because his recent form figures suggest that he's one to take on, but I think the ground could be key to him. And if he's running to the level he was when in the frame at Kempton and that handicap hurdle that came after the Cheltenham Festival, when he was placed up a mark of 1-3-2, then he would look fairly well treated off 128. So he looks a solid one to me.
He's opened up 8-1 on Thursday afternoon. Whoever is operating the prices, Frank, they have made them available to me now, which is great news. 8-1 JBY. Frank?
Yeah, I was going to give Annual Invictus a chance. I think he's top weight here, but Freddie Gordon takes off 7. He's in decent enough form as well. The Yard are in very good form. The last 2 weeks, they're 5-12, 42% strike rate. They go back to the Betfair Hurdle in 2021. Annual Invictus is running on really strongly into fourth from well down the field that day. That was off a mark of 135.
I napped him that day, by the way. Just to set the record straight. I was a fan at one stage.
Yeah, he hit the frame, to be fair to him. Yeah. Look, as Rory said, his form did tail off of fences last year, but look, he won well enough, I thought, at Cheltenham on his reappearance. That was just the second try at 3 miles. He remains relatively unexposed to the trip. That was off a mark of 135. He was third back at Cheltenham in December off 139, the mark he runs off here. That might have been a good race with Captain Morgs winning. I think he ran every bit as well that day, finishing third. Look, Wincanton didn't go his way and he was pulled up, but it was only 2.5 weeks after that second Cheltenham run. So maybe it was just coming a bit quick. He's been given a little bit of a break, and I think actually good ground suits him well. So yeah, I thought he might get his own way in front, and if he did, I thought he might stay there.
Okay, hopefully. And Annual Invictus for Frank, and an 8-1 poke there in JBY. I don't know what that means for Alan King. Right, move on to the Betfair sponsor, Dem Chase. Obviously, he's the Betfair day at Newbury, and heading the market for this Hitman for Paul Nicholls, of course, who want to win the Dem and Chase. 7-4, 5-2 Eldorado Allen for Joe Tizzard and Brendan Pell. Fanny and Desterval is 5-1. Goes up to 3 miles. Does He Know for Kim Bailey, loves it quick, and is 6-1 and 8-1 Sam Brown. Pretty big odds the rest. Sorry, Frank, off you go. The Betfair Demon.
Yeah, I'm yet to be convinced Hitman wants 3 miles. Does he really want the ground really decent at the same time too? You've Eldorado Allen won this last year. He's a £6 penalty, and I'm going to take a chance on Fanion Destreval. He was an eye catcher in the Carl Trophy here in November. I think that was the first time he ran over 3 miles, or whatever, further than 3 miles even. And what was really strange about it is he didn't appear to be able to go the early pace for a horse who'd been running over shorter. It was very odd. And he looked like he was going to be detached and pulled up, but he actually ran on strongly to only be beaten 19 lengths in seventh, which, considering how he went in the first half of the race, was a fairly decent performance. I think he ran really well when third in the Royal America last time off top weight. I think that's a race that'll work out. Sounds Russian's obviously got on, finished second in the Cotswold Chase. I think he's a lively outsider even for the Gold Cup, and Into Overdrive has been kept back for the Ultima. I think that race will work out really well. Even Topfield Ben ran a cracker in the Dublin Race Festival at the weekend when third over in the 2.5 handicap. On ratings, he's only got £2 to find with Hitman. And yeah, I'd take a chance at the prices on Fan and Destreval.
First time cheek pieces, and Charlie Deutsch takes over from Lucy Turner, who had been riding recently. Rory?
I largely agree with Frank on this. Other than to say, I think Hitman is as good on good ground as he is on anything else. He has won on testing surface, but if he's going to stay 3 miles, he's going to want to do it on a quick surface. The concern with him is that he burst a blood vessel when pulling up in the King George. So that kind of excuses the run, although he wouldn't have appealed in that kind of company anyway. He's clearly got a lot of talent, but he's the kind of horse you tend to see bossing slightly inferior rivals at this level and then taking on the very best in grade ones. So if he's over what happened at Cheltenham last time out, I think with this trip being just short of 3 miles and the ground being on the quick side, I think it probably gives him every chance of being able to boss this lot. He's not a horse I'd want to back very often, Hitman. And the fact that he did bleed last time out means you couldn't go too heavily on him. But I think he might well win this. I wouldn't want to touch him afterwards. I wouldn't, he'll have to step up against Grade One company if he does win this. And he doesn't strike me as a Grade One horse. He strikes me as a bit of a flat track bully. His win strike rate isn't great, but he's liable to travel best through this race. His jumping's been pretty good this season until the King George. And again, the fact that he won't be taken out of his comfort zone is crucial. He might be able to lead as well. nothing in this race is an out and out front runner. And some of them definitely don't want to go forward early. So I think he might be able to boss things from the front. Sam Brown might go forward, I suppose, but I don't really, Sam Brown's not massively appealing on quick ground. I know he probably doesn't want the mud, even though he's got quite a lot of form in soft and heavy ground as a younger horse. I think Anthony Honeyball wanted to make sure that he had suspect legs. He wanted to keep him away from anything like quick ground as a young horse. But you know, his best performance actually coming on ground no worse than good to soft. But I don't think he wants it quick, and it's heading that way. So that would be a worry for him. And of course, he's stepping back slightly in trip when we know he stays a bit further. So that would put me off him. El Dorado Allen is liable to run well, but you know, he is giving weight away all round. And it's not like, I don't mind backing grade one horses to give weight away in grade twos if they're ready for it. But I don't think El Dorado Allen, we've seen plenty of him. He's been placed in grade one company, of course. He ran well in the Betfair Chase, but that race rather fell apart. And I don't fancy him giving weight away. It's interesting to see how many of these are wearing headgear for the first time. Sam Brown, with the cheek pieces on for the first time, El Dorado Allen similarly, and Fanyon Destreval. I just think this is liable to go to Hitman. He's liable to look quite impressive bossing horses at this sort of level. But as I said, I'd still have my concerns about him outside of this company. So it just looks like this is the perfect storm for him. He should get everything run to suit. And he might just lull a few people into thinking he's going to be a King George horse next season, or even a Gold Cup horse down the line. But I don't really believe that.
Okay, so Hitman, but very, very lukewarm in the Betfair Demon. I think Desi Noel win, loves the ground. We move on to the Gamesbury Chase, due off at 3:00 and cut up a little bit. Grenadine is the 4-9 favourite for it on the first show. Funambul Sibylla for Venetia Williams is 5-1. Elixir to Nuts 6-1. 8-1 Ballistic and 6-6-1 Mortlock. All right, Rory, put me off Grenadine, please.
I can't put you off Grenadine. I think he really should win this race. He's actually an underrated chaser. If you look at the balance of the form. I was looking at the Champion Chase yesterday, trying to sort of build up a picture of that. And there's probably six of them who've hit sort of a mark in the high 170s that'd be good enough to win this Champion Chase. And Grenadine hits. On time form figures, hits about 180 on a regular basis, and that's good enough to win this race. His only disappointments have come on soft ground, which he doesn't want. And if you look at his form on good to soft ground over the last couple of years, he's definitely a 2 mile chaser who doesn't really get the credit he deserves. He's gone reasonably close in the Champion Chase, having not had the run of things. He's maybe ideally suited by Sandown. You know, he's won a couple of grade ones there. And possibly even three grade ones now at Sandown, and he is pretty sure to give his running, and this is a slightly disappointing turnout against him. So I don't like backing horses at 4-9, but you know, putting something up against the 4-9 shot for the sake of it isn't the wisest move either. And I think Grenadine deserves to be a little bit shorter than he is in the betting, so I'm not going to be against him here. Elixir de Nuts is probably the one he's got to worry about most. I mean, Malistic on the ratings has got a big chance, but he's, you know, he gets a big rating for winning a handicap at Doncaster last time out off a mark of 1.45. And that kind of gives him more of a chance on paper than Elixir de Nuts. But Elixir de Nuts is slightly more tried and tested in this sort of race. And I think, although he's, again, he disappointed towards the end of last season, He's run himself back into the best of his form, and I think he will. I think he will maybe give Grenadine most to do, but I couldn't really see him laying a glove on Grenadine. Even the best of his form leaves him with at least £10 to find. You know, we should mention Funambul Sibylla. He was second in the Champion Chase last year, and you would say that, you know, if he found that form, he'd go close. I don't think that form is worth as much as it should be. Obviously, if you remember last year's Champion Chase, there were three horses with a chance. Two of them were out of the race by the top of the hill. And Funambul Sibylla has inherited second place. He's been very, very disappointing since. And although we've seen one or two horses refine their form this spring, having been a little bit disappointing, I haven't seen signs that Funambul Sibylla is ready to do that. And none of his runs this season will get him within healing distance of the favourite. So very hard to be against Granatine here.
Yeah, no problems for the odds on favourite for Rory. Same for you, Frank.
Yeah, really should be winning and throw his hat into the ring for the champion chase if Scram cuts up good. Wide open race.
Okay. Wide open the champion chase now? Yeah.
I think so, yeah. I think it's.
Okay.
Wouldn't be as forgiving of Ennegramine as a lot of people are. And I was a very big fan.
I was just going to say, he was a poster on your bedroom wall, was Ennegramine there.
Yeah, I think this is just my opinion, but people saying that, he'll go out in front the next day and he'll be at his very best. Don't buy that at all. He won a champion chase last year, being held up. He's run flat, and I don't think there was any excuse. And I hope he keeps shortening up, because to me, that means something else is going to be too big.
Lovely. Let that be a lesson to all. Frank Hickey is not a forgiving man.
No, it's an interesting one. I mean, yeah, we'll have discussion of the champion chase at some point after this. It's a very easy race to have a long debate about, particularly in terms of tactics, but that's for another time, I think.
Lovely. Look forward to it. It'll be as part of the Cheltenham Countdown series.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Now we move on to the Betfair Hurdle, a big race on Newbury's card. Always a wide open handicap. As we record on Thursday, there are 6 places on offer. Now we do need the requisite amount of runners to run. And if it really does quicken up, there could be non-runners and those extra places may be amended. But 6 places is what we're aiming for. And here he is again, Emmett Mullins. Has he got a handicap snip with Filey Bay? 7-2 favourite. Paul Nichols has got Hacker de Place at 6-1. 7-1, I Care Alan, also for JP. It's interesting, JP bought, of course, this Emmett Mullins horse, but he still throws in a few horses in I Care Alan for Willie Mullins and No Ordinary Joe for Nicky Henderson, who's 9-1. In between the two, Rubod is 8-1. It's double figure odds, the rest. Okay, Frank, you didn't have a huge amount to say about the previous one. I imagine there's lots in this one, though.
Oh, this is a very interesting race. I Care Alan's very interesting. I think he ran really well. It was a fairy house when he was second. You think there's a big handicap in him for sure. Filey Bay, we just have no clue. Like the two races he won in Doncaster and Canton were nothing races in the context of this, but he won with any amount of hand. And the fact that JP's bought him obviously going to make it very interesting. But with the extra places, I just thought there was two that I thought were interesting, and I'm going to have each way bets on two of them. One, the first one is for a yard that have been very much out of form this season, but one more for the road for Neil King. Really progressive last season, won the Jerry Fielding here in good style off a mark of 133, was second in the valuable handicap at Ascot off 136, was fourth in the Imperial Cup off 137 and ground that wouldn't have suited, finished the season beaten a little over a length in the Scottish Champion Hurdle off 136. Ran actually really well in his reappearance at Aintree over 2.5, where he didn't really appear to stay. That was off a mark of 136. Look, he disappointed on his last start at Ascot in November, but he's been off since. He was well back that day too. He went off 5. Look, the Neil King yard, they've had a poor time of things. They had no winner in July, August, no runner at all in September over jumps. October and November were blank. Did have a winner in December, did have a winner in January. So maybe, just maybe, things are starting to turn. And he's just really well handicapped. I think good ground really suits him too. I just think at the price, he's worth taking a chance on with the handicap mark. As I said, the stable performance is a concern, but I think the price is worth chance, because when he won that Jury Field, and I was straight away thinking, if the ground comes up decent for the Betfair Hurdle, I'd really be interested in him. So he's won. And my other dart at the race is Gary Moore horse, Yorksie. Gary Moore has a great record in the race. He won it with, what were the ones he won it with again?
Roy, 2 5-year-olds and a 6-year-old.
Violet Dancer, wasn't it?
Heathcote won it as a 5-year-old at 50-1, Wingman was 6.
I think Sire de Grugy placed in the race when he was over hurdles as well. He couldn't get into it.
And didn't 50 ball was second to Soaring Glory. So he does like to target one at it. He has Teddy Blue as well, but I just thought Yorksie was a little bit more interesting. Niall Hoolan takes 3 off. Holly Triton hurdles debut for Gary Moore, ran the Grade 2 Juvenile November 21, went third, beaten 3 lengths to Knight Sloot, was second to Intern to Civilla, at the December meeting at Cheltenham that year as well. He was held up that day and the winner got first run and everything, but he did run on strongly into second, bolted up at Fontwell on St. Stephen's Day 2021. He looked one for the Boodles, but I don't know whether he had a setback or was intentionally roughed off for the rest of the season, and came back in the jury fielding in November in Newbury off a mark of 123, but shaped like the run was badly needed. Went to Fonwell St. Stephen's Day, bolted up in a lesser handicap off a mark of 119. He went up £7 for that, but the second one last week at Wetherby to Frank the Farm. Look, this is obviously a much warmer race, but as I said, Gary Moore has such a good record in the race, and to me, this is a horse that's been crying out for a big field and a strong pace, and he hasn't got it yet. And I think he's going to improve an awful lot for getting that set up. And again, he's a very big price. So yeah. Yorksea would be the other one for me each way.
Two at 25 to one for Frank Yorksea, and one more for the road. It's the Jerry Fielden, not Jerry Fielding. I don't know what you're fielding there. I mean, if you're gonna give out about everything, I say.
I'm not a presenter. It doesn't really matter. Do you know? Anyway, it was Tom Newton cutting the legs from you, not me. But like, let me just say, I'll be a lot more likely to jump in and help him next week.
I'm just for the next training meeting when you say, "Oh, that run in the Jerry Fielding was great," and someone and your boss goes, "Sorry, what race? What race are you talking about? That's not even a race." Rory, off you go.
You're not going to hear an awful lot new from me. I'm quite impressed with the pair that Frank has come out with there, because one of them is one of mine. The other one, one more for the road. You say it was well backed last night. Yeah, I napped that last time and put it up as a fairly confident bet at Ascot. And he ran the only poor race of his entire career. He'd never been out of the four in his life before that. And I thought, well, at least this will definitely be placed, we thought. And he's run a poor race to finish 8th of 9 in that handicap hurdle at Ascot. But yeah, everything Frank said about him beforehand, if you knew that he was back to himself, and then Neil King was back in form, you'd be very keen on him. I still don't think there's really been a Neil King revival, as it were. He's got a few horses who are capable of winning handicaps, and he's had, you know, he's getting a smattering of winners, but you know, his last 10 haven't been enormously impressive. Give Me a Cuddle was a winner at Doncaster at the end of January, but then that one was 9th of 10 when reasonably well fancied last time out. And The Knot Is Tied was a pulled up one that looked like I was half a chance at faking him. A few of them run okay, but I'm kind of looking for a little bit more spark before I get stuck in again. But yes, he looked very consistent in handicaps. You only worry about him before his last race was the handicapper might just have an idea of exactly where he stood, but you knew that he was always going to run well in these good handicaps. Of course, he's been dropped £3 for his two runs this season. I agree with Frank that he didn't quite stay 2.5 at Aintree, but travelled well for a long way before his stamina seemed to ebb away. And I hope he bounces back. He's a really nice horse, but I'm definitely on side with Yorksea. Absolutely kicking myself for not having him last time out. I remember looking at that race and thinking that he was a really interesting runner. The problem with that contest that he won at Fontwell was in the morning, Gary also had Teddy Blue in the race. And I thought, well, Teddy Blue is surely the intended one here. And then didn't notice that Teddy Blue was taken out in the morning. Yorksea was punted off the boards and bolted up, beating Pyramid Place, who won next time out. Yorksea looked like a horse to follow last season. I'm inclined to agree with Frank, without knowing exactly what happened, that Gary's always got half an eye on the Betfair hurdle with his juveniles the previous season, looking to know how to set them up for it. And he showed plenty last season. He was a good second in the Triumph Hurdle trial on good ground in December of last season. And then was only seen once more when winning at Fontwell. He didn't show a huge amount. It was unfancied, didn't show a huge amount on his return at this track on good ground. But as I said, the way he was punted and the way that race was run at Fontwell, the stable having two in the race, looking like Teddy Blue had a massive chance. And then for Yorksea, I mean, Teddy Blue looked really well handicapped in that as well. But with him out of the race, Yorksea suddenly looked of a decent chance and did it nicely. He's £7 higher now, but I think he deserves that. He's only £3 higher than he was at the end of last season. And it does look like he's now picked up the progressive thread again. So he'd be my main my main chance in that race. And, you know, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Teddy Blue run a big race as well. He does have a £5 penalty here for winning a race that he was very entitled to win at Lingfield last time out. So it's just a maiden hurdle. So £5 penalty for that is harsh enough. But in terms of real ability, he's better than 1-3-3. He's got a tendency to just take too much of a grip in his races. He went without the hood last time out. He goes without the hood again. He didn't improve. I know he won the race, but he didn't improve for the lack of headgear. So that puts me off him slightly. And it does appear that Yorksey with Niall Houlihan riding is the stable's number one. But never ignore a Gary Moore horse in a race like this. So don't let Teddy Blue get too big a price. But Yorksey for me.
Okay, so two votes for Yorksey. He was 25-1 at the time of recording. One for one more for the road at the same price. And another vote for Gary Moore with Teddy Blue. Caelan Quinner. I think it's how you pronounce his name. We'll take the ride on Teddy Blue.
We just better make sure this isn't out before we can get to the shop.
Well, yeah. Producer Mark can delay. It takes me about 10 to 15 minutes to get to the nearest one. So just bear that in mind, Mark. Bear that in mind. That's a very good look ahead to Newbury's card, the Betfair card. Let's look at Warwick, which is also live on ITV. The 130 is the first race they're going to show us. It's a 2.5 mile handicap chase, headed in the market by Stolen Silver for Sam Thomas. We keep mentioning Sam Thomas likes winners on Saturdays. He has won Dear Mark in the Betfair hurdle as well. That's 6-4, 5-2 Galahad Quest for Jane Williams, David Noonan, 130 Knight in Dubai for the Skeltons. Monsieur de Zobo is 13-2 and 12s. Mackenberg. Right, Rory, off you go.
This is quite a tight little a contest, and I wasn't intending to spend too much money on it. But Stolen Silver just gets the nod. He's got top weight, but he's got a bit less to prove than one or two of these. I napped him when he unseated his rider in the Paddy Power Gold Cup. Typical. His jumping is generally fine, but he was let down by it on that occasion when he was favourite. And then he's run an absolute cracker to be second to Midnight River in the December Gold Cup on his next start. He's gone up £4 for that, which obviously makes life a little bit harder, but clearly that was as good as he's ever been. And he's a pretty straightforward ride. I think he benefited from being out in front last time out, whereas he was held up sort of midfield and on the inside in his previous start, and he didn't have the room to do what he wanted to do throughout the contest there, and wasn't very happy with it. But in a small field here, and with no other pressure on him, I don't think he should be able to get an easy lead. And that makes him the horse to beat without a doubt. Mackenberg is high enough in the weights based on his latest run, which is just a respectable fifth at Doncaster. He won plenty last season, but the handicappers raised him a fair bit for it. He just seems to be in limbo at the moment in terms of his handicap mark. He should run respectably. Messier de Zobo, I would worry about on the ground again. He's a horse with a lot of talent, but he's had lots of problems. He's very well handicapped on the pick of his novice form, but he's 11 now. He's had several layoffs with injury, and he didn't show an awful lot on his return at Wincanton. I'm surprised to see him turned out again so quickly 5 weeks later. It looked like the way he went in that race that he might have gone wrong again, but he is turned out fairly quickly. But if you've watched his last three runs, he's pulled up twice, having travelled well, and then was beaten quite a long way in third at Ascot. So he's a hard horse to back these days. For all we know, he still retains a lot of ability. Knight in Dubai would have a chance on the form of his second at Bangor in November, but that came in heavy ground, and his form on goodish ground isn't quite as good. And Galahad Quest is slightly out of the weights and needs to find his best form if he's going to be effective here. And he's a little bit disappointing on quick ground at Chepstow in October, although he does handle fast ground. So he's maybe the danger, Galahad Quest. But I still think Stolen Silver, given that he's going to get the run of things in front, is the one to beat.
Yeah. Totally agree. Frank?
Oh, yeah. I was looking at this race last night, and I think he was 5-1 across the board. I was like, Jesus, if you knew he was running, it was a big price. But obviously, the race is cut up massively. It was bolted up at Cheltenham in April off 143 on good ground. He was 4-1 for the Paddy Power Gold Cup, very well backed when he unseated three out. Unlikely he would have won, but at the same time, you couldn't say he was definitely beaten either. And the second to Midnight River on New Year's Day at Cheltenham, of 150 has been well advertised as well, with Il Ridotto winning on Trials Day and the sixth Jacamar winning at Leicester since. I just think this is a poor race, really, for is it 20 grand, 20 odd grand to the winner? I expect Solon Silver to win.
I think he's not material. Only worry I'd have, and I don't know if this is the way the stable operate, will they have an eye on Cheltenham? And if they win here, are they going to throw Cheltenham away?
But the only thing is, right, like what's it to win the plate at Cheltenham? 50 odd grand?
Yeah, if you're talking about the handicaps,
it makes no sense.
It makes no sense thinking about, I want to have a go at the Grand Annual, or I want to have a go at the plate. A good Saturday handicap with a smaller field and prize money that's about 70% as much, you might as well be going for the slightly smaller pot, particularly if it's on TV. I know people love winners at Cheltenham, but the handicaps are a toss-up. And I think you'd be mad to be thinking about your mark on that.
Owners are mad people.
Yeah, but particularly
the Cheltenham winners.
But particularly the way it's going, where, like, you know, he could win this and go up four, do you know? And
yeah,
like
they don't go up much.
Like the top weights have been running quite well in recent history. So yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, you'd have 20 grand in the bank and, you know, 4 or 5 pounds higher. Yeah, maybe it might catch out, but
you still have the chance. I mean, you know, you say owners like Cheltenham winners. Owners like Cheltenham runners. because you're still living the dream.
Yeah.
You know, the last thing to die is hope, as my older son said to me last night.
That goes into the
It was the younger boy who said it to me.
That never happened category. Is it?
He didn't say it in a philosophical way. He was watching a video and somebody's one of his footballing heroes, probably Neymar, said, "Hope is the last thing to die," and he said that to me. He goes, "What is that supposed to mean, Daddy?" So you know, it wasn't that he said it in a worldly wise sort of way, but it was amusing. It's amusing to hear these things come out of your children's minds.
What a conversation. Like, it's kind of like Red and your man from Shawshank there, yourself. You're playing Morgan Freeman role. Hope can kill a man. Right, we'll move on to the Mayor's Hurdle.
I should have just said that, shouldn't I? I should have those answers in my
dangerous
head.
Thing. Put on your best Morgan Freeman accent as well. 205 is the listed Mayor's Hurdle, and Love Envoy, well, speaking of Cheltenham, she's obviously fancied for the Mayor's at Cheltenham. Boy, oh boy, is that race turned out to be hot. She's 4-6 in this renewal, though. 4-6 to win this race at Warwick. It's 9-4 Theatre Glory for Nikki Henderson. Molly Ollie's Wishes.
Well done.
Thank you very much, Rory. Is 10-1, 14-1 Indefatigable. Oh God, there's some pronunciations in this one. And 22-1 Sky Ace for the Shark Handling. What a purchase. Malacana's 50-1. And West Balboa doesn't go. Back to you, Frank, for the listed Mayor's Hurdle.
Yeah, look, it's difficult to be against Love Envoy. Short price. Do we want to back her? No. Be mad keen to take her on? Not particularly. Look, Theatre Glory ran well behind Grey Dawning, who's obviously franked the form. Grey Dawning was winning a handicap that day off, it was 129, was it? And won the Grade 2 Leamington Novice Hurdle at Warwick on his next start. But for me, Love Envoy just looks, she's really tough and she's really good. And even with the penalty, I think she should be too good. I think she has to concede £2 when you're to Theatre Glory. And yeah, like the better ground, tiny question mark. She has won on good to soft, but I don't think it's an issue. And yeah, Love Envoy.
Lovely. Keeping it simple. Rory?
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to here as well. There's a slight question mark, I suppose, in terms of the ground. But of course, it was only good to soft when she won. You know, it was very testing at Cheltenham on the second day last year, but there's no worse than good to soft for the Thursday and Friday. So she shouldn't really have many problems on it. You know, her runs surrounding that all came on testing ground, but. You can't really knock that win in the Dawn Run last year. So she should cope with conditions well enough. The one I was looking forward to seeing here was West Balboa, who's been taken out. I can't find out why that is yet. The BHA do claim that their non-runner page updates automatically, but it doesn't. And they need to have a look at that, because that horse is not yet listed as a non-runner on the BHA site, and therefore I don't know why she's been taken out. Probably ground related, I would have thought.
Julie Harrington is an avid listener to the pod, and she'll get onto it.
Because she was taken out almost immediately after death.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost like she was declared an error.
An error,
yes,
maybe.
It might well have been that. But again, you still need to have have a reason for that. But, you know, she was, well, I heard Dan Skelton interview during the week and he said he was going to run her here. But oh, no, I take that back. He said she was entered here, but that wasn't, it wasn't plan A. Plan A was to run her next weekend.
Yeah.
So it looks like she has been declared an error, especially with Molly Ollie's wishes in the race. But I think West Bible was definitely very, very interesting going forward. She is seven now, but she's had very little racing and she improved a chunk last time. I don't want to talk too much about her here, given she doesn't run, but she's another one to be interested in. The one who might be able to give Love on Voice something to think about if the ground is genuinely good is Theatre Glory, who wants that ground. She wasn't disgraced on soft ground at Kempton last time out, but I'm convinced that she wants a sound surface, and she was well fancied for the Jerry Fielden.
That's
at Newbury on her return, only to give Nathan Brennan quite a soft on seat. I think there's more to come from her, and she would be a danger, but she's got about £10 to find with Love Envoy, and that is not going to make it easy for her. So it's difficult to be against the favourite unless you know we find out the ground is actually good to firm in places, which would be unlikely.
Ah, yeah. Well, when they put covers down in this frost, it usually never gets that firm. Yeah, never gets that firm, that condensation. So two votes for Love Envoy, or Love Envoy, depending on your pronunciation. One more to look at it, Warwick. Unfortunately, it's not a great race.
You say that.
I say it because it's true. The Kingmaker. What? You think it's a good race?
I think this is the most interesting race of the entire day.
1-5 shot. I'm intrigued. Did you know
almost,
that was
it's
price?
Almost like you haven't listened to last week's.
That's right. He definitely didn't listen. No, he was too busy giving out. But Tom and me,
about the next question. I'm clearly not listening, as it turns out. 1-5, John Bond. 9-2, Haddock. Oh, there it is. Right, yeah, Haddock's the Sobo. Now I know. I hadn't gone that far. I just saw the price of the favor. 1-5, John Bond. Haddock's the Sobo. Geez, he's an interesting horse, Frank. I heard a few people putting him up actually for Chelham. He's 9-2 for this. Bass or Bass Rock is 20-1. We'll go Bass for a pint of Bass and 50-1 for Calico. All right, for those of us,
I'd say is like Rory's on about Haddock's the Sobo and how much he's improved and how good he was at Warwick the last time. And in your head, you're going, shit, I said Countdown to Cheltenham Part 4. Tom's going to rip me.
I'm just worried about whatever mistake I've made. Ruby will pick it up anyway. And you won't let me forget. Right, Rory, to those who didn't watch the episode on Monday, you did put up Haddock's Oboe as a potential flyer in the Arco market. If he's to win an Arco, what's he got to do on Saturday?
Well, he's got to get close to beating John Bond. And this is a tough ask for him because he's made all the running on his last two starts and been very impressive and been very quick with his jumping. And obviously, John Bond's made all the running and been very quick and impressive with his jumping in two starts so far as well. Both of them winning over this course and distance as well. And to be honest, the performance that Haddock's the Sobo put up over course and distance last time out wasn't far behind what John Bond did first time out. And in fact, Timeform rated a better performance, although it's worth pointing out that it was John Bond's debut over fences and it was Haddock's the Sobo's fourth run over fences. So he timed to get his act together by then. So this is an interesting one. Will connections of John Bond allow him to take a lead? I think they probably will, because they don't, you know, they think John Bond is absolutely top notch, and you don't want to pigeonhole a top notch chaser as needing to lead. You'd like to think if your horse is really the best around, it will be able to win under different tactics. So I think although John Bond's made the running at Warwick and Sandown, they might be happy enough to take a lead from Haddock's the Sobo. And if they do, he might take a bit of catching, you know, because his jumping has been very impressive in his last two starts. He unseated on debut at Newton Abbott, and then he jumped out to his left at Kempton on his second start. But the last two runs have been really good. At Doncaster, he jumped them into the ground and then was kind of holding on the finish. Whereas off a higher mark at Warwick, his jumping was electric and they couldn't get near him. He won by 19 lengths in the end. Now, you kind of got the impression in a small field that fell apart a bit and maybe flattered him. But the second and third both won next time out. The third was Third Time Lucky, who was the horse who went off in pursuit of him and then didn't see it out, as often is the case with Third Time Lucky. And Gallo de Chasse of Venetia Williams's got himself in a bit of trouble early on, and then ran on late in the day to grab second on the run in. And it was easy to look at that and go, well, neither the second nor the third particularly impressed with the way they went about things. But both of them won next time out, showing better form. And I think there's a good chance that the reason they didn't look impressive in that race was because the winner's very good. And often when races fall apart, it's because the winner is making them fall apart. And horses like that don't always get the recognition they deserve. Everyone tends to go, when a horse wins a race, and the distance between the second and third and fourth are 20 lengths, etc. They just go, oh, well, that hasn't run its race, and that hasn't run its race, so the form's worthless. But the reason horses appear not to have run their races is often because they've been broken by another horse who's just taken them out of their comfort zone, made them do things wrong, and you shouldn't hold that against them. And Alex Zobo has done that in his last couple of starts. Yes, the Doncaster form was in a considerably lower grade. But he was beating this good horses in a class 2 handicap last time out. And he is, without doubt, a graded performer in the making. This is a big step up. You know, there have been plenty of runnings of this that would have given Alex Desobo a chance to win without having to improve a lot. But he's up against John Bond here, and he does need to improve. But I think there's less between them on form than the market would indicate. And the key to this is who goes on early. Because, Alex Desobo does not want to be following something else around. He needs to be using his jumping. And if he allows John Bond to get into an early lead, that horse is superior to him on form anyway. But also, it gives him more weapons as well. So I want to see Alex Desobo lead. And I genuinely think he can serve it up to John Bond if that's the case. And if he does, then he becomes quite an interesting outsider for the Arkle. If it all goes horribly wrong and John Bond leads and Alex Desobo can't get into it, I think he's still an interesting handicapper going forward because he'd find other races working for him. But this is definitely not the one-sided race that the market makes it look. And I'd like to see Alex Desobo, make me not look at Egypt on Saturday.
Would you, if you're playing either today or Andy Pulse, are you thinking, right, I'll take the 20, it's 20-1 for the Arkle now. Back that, hope he runs well, or would you be even looking at backing him well, Saturday?
He's 20's non-runner, no bet, is he?
Yeah.
Listen, you can back that now. The one benefit of those non-runner, no bet races is if you're backing a horse who needs to sort of
jump,
needs to jump a hurdle in order to qualify, they need to put up a performance that will justify putting them in the race, then they're worth backing because you know that if they fail the test, they're unlikely to be asked then to go and run in the grade one. He's an obvious one to back non-runner, no bets because he won't be 20s if he beats John. He certainly won't be 20s if he beats John Bond. And if he gives John Bond a fright, then he won't be 20s either. Okay. And he looks like an interesting player.
20-1 non-runner money back, as we need to call it. Don't know why that came in. Maybe the no bet was confusing. Frank, Rory's made a strong case for Haddock, Sazobo, Antipost and the Arkle. Is there any betting angle you can find?
I can definitely see the reasoning, and he is interesting. I think a small field, and if he does get to the lead, he can run a good race. But I think John Bond might just be too classy for him. And hopefully John Bond can win and set up a tasty clash with El Fabiolo.
El John Bond mentions... Poor old Fishcake's not going to make it, unfortunately, to Cheltenham by the looks of things. I think he was pulled out, wasn't he, of the stayers if he was ever an intended runner. I suppose he could still run the Gold Cup, couldn't he? But right, that's ITB done, lads. Is there anything else on Saturday that you want us to look at? We usually have a chat before we record to see if you...
I have one at Newbury and I'll just mention two at Naas.
I love it. I love it, Frank. Off you go.
The listed bumper at Newbury, Bowens Park, by Walk of the Park, out of a bumper maiden hurdle winner. Won on debut, Utoxeter, back in November on good ground. The second, third of one since the fourth, won a listed mayor's bumper at Huntingdon. Went to Warwick for a second start under a penalty on soft ground. Won there by a neck, beating Katate Dory, to whom he was conceding £7. Katate Dory had been hammered on debut in the market at Cheltenham in a listed race and was far from disgrace in fourth. So I think conceding a penalty to that horse is probably a very good effort. The third of Warwick, Masasio, had won a bumper on debut and was second there to a nice type before having 18 months off the track and returning in that Warwick race. So Bowens Park for Henry Daly. And Naas, the 105 2-mile novice hurdle for juveniles. Five previous renewals this race, have thrown up three winners of the Boodles, so it's well worth keeping an eye on. Sir Alan, Biker, Metamorphous, they've all won maiden hurdles in the second start. Open to further improvement are very interesting. I just might be willing to take a flyer in Morning Soldier here, who's likely to be the rag of the field, potentially. Peaked at 80, at a rating of 88 on the flat, but was regressing through the summer and autumn and ended up rated 72, albeit the last three runs were all on relatively testing ground. I think he wants better ground to be his best. Very well backed in hurdles debut, punched down at massive prices on yielding ground. Actually travelled really well that day and just in the end was beaten, I think, about six legs by Nusret, but he's a fairly useful useful horse on the flat in particular and shown decent form over hurdles. Look, the testing ground was probably against him. A punch down the second start when he was 9.5 lengths behind the reopposing Sir Alan when sixth, and last at Fairy House, the ground was bordering on heavy when he was behind Blood Destiny, like it's a common practice in Nusret. Back on decent ground, I think he could be a massive price and worth a nibble. And then the Opera Hat, 2 mile listed Mayor's Chase. Ellie May's won it the last 2 years. She's a £12 penalty. Magic Day is a £4 penalty and been running really well in handicaps. She's had a bit of a break since her close second at Fairy House at the beginning of December. I just think this might be teeing her up for a run the Grand Annual potentially. I just think Dino Blue, with no penalty and the form of her 3 length second to Impervious, looking even better now. I thought she was impressive in her chase debut at Cork. I like the way she jumps and she should take a bit of beating in that race, I think.
Willie Mullins to win with the second string. That ever happened before?
Nah.
Has it ever happened before?
Only if Paul Townend fucks up, really, isn't it?
Paul
Townendo. He's Italian first cousin.
The bowled Paul. Yeah, Paul Townend on Ellie May and Dino Lurie by Luke Dempsey. We wish Mark Walsh a quick recovery from his injury at DRF, not riding, but looks things this weekend. Rory, I think that's it, unless you want to throw anything in there at me. No.
No, not particularly, unless you wanted to dig out the Paddy's Pick Five.
Oh, I can dig it out. What I will say is we're recording on Thursday, so we don't know the declarations for Sunday, but there is a cracking couple of races at Navan. Blazing Cow, we're hoping, is declared. But
he will, I'd say, won't
will
he?
Will he be?
I think so.
Okay.
And all you want to see is signs of life, and that'll be
it.
Enough.
That's it. If he's second favourite in the anti-post market for that race, by the way, the Boyne hurdle, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's up to winning that now off the break, but all you want to see is him to travel to two out.
Okay. That'll be enough for the, yeah, the Paddy Power Stairs.
We're probably going to have to hurry up, PK, because I have 1 minute left before I get kicked out of the meeting room. So.
A reminder, Paddy's Pick 5 is available this weekend. Check the show notes. We've rambled on too long. Frank, we'll be back next week. Frank, you'll be back next week dissecting myself, Rory and Ruby. We'll be back as ever on Tuesday on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Remember, Punters Panel, we're recording that on Monday. You can get your questions in. You can either ask myself, you can send a DM to myself, Patrick Connelly, or Mark Walsh on Twitter, or you can email fthm@paddypower.com. If your video is used on the show, and remember, we've got Rory, Nina, and Ruby, you will get a £25 free bet. So have a go, lads. Ask them whatever you fancy. Lads, have a great weekend. Frank, get out.
The naps, PK.
Oh, my word. You rushed me, and I panicked. I've absolutely
just panicked. Nap Yorkshire and be done with it.
That's okay. What I was going to nap there anyway. Yorkshire. Get stuck in.
So two naps responsibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get stuck in each way in the Betfair Hurdle, which is the big race at Newbury. Yorkshire. Frank's off. He's been kicked out of the meeting.
I've been kicked out. Good luck.
Good man. Goodbye.
I'll see you.
We'll talk to you on Monday. Take it easy, everyone.